We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Bear Down Ballers here on the Field of 68. I'm Ryan Wall. I'm joined once again by Jordan Pollock. And Jordan, this past weekend, I can finally say that Arizona won two games in a single week for the first time in, it feels like forever at this point. They've had a 26-point victory on Thursday night against Cal, and then they followed it up with a 11-point victory over Stanford. That game was very close at some points, more in the first half. Arizona pulled away late. But I want to get your takeaway on both wins and kind of how you saw Arizona progress this weekend.
Yeah, I think for starters, I think looking at the Cal game, I think just the biggest thing that I saw was just the lack of front court play from Cal, and that was one of Balo's better, higher scoring games of the year. He had 22 in that game, and I think that that just shows that the strength of Balo, but it also shows the staff and his teammates are more eager to get him the ball when there's favorable matchups in that case, because so far we've played a majority of the conference. There's some pretty dang good centers in the conference. Like, we dealt with Oregon center last week. Bono. Yeah. From UCLA is really good. And so, Carlson at Utah, we'll see him this week. There's a lot of talent at the center position. So I think when they have favorable matchups, they try to hit those matchups specific. So that was a good thing to see from the Cal game. And the Stanford game, I kind of think it was pretty similar, like from Stanford's perspective, that it was the first game up in Palo Alto. They shot pretty well, 42 from three. And from the start of the game, they could miss. And that was one of the reasons they got a quick lead, and they held that for most of the whole first half. And it just kind of took Arizona to try to get some different ways to score. And I noticed them trying to actually slow it down, I think, in the second half. I think that helped get some rhythm with some players.
Yeah, the game versus Cal first, I'll say, I mean, that game was basically over at the end of the first half. Arizona was up by 20. But you mentioned him a little bit, and that's the guy I want to get in more. That's Umar Balo. He was the star, the MVP of the weekend for Arizona. He had 22 and 13, like you said. You all right?
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
Oh, wow.
You're good. Yeah, so Balo, I'll get back into him. He, as you mentioned, had 22 and 13. He followed up with 18 and 13. He was 16 for 20 from the field in those two games, which is just very impressive, because I've talked and we've talked throughout the year, is Balo, some games he's just not that efficient this season. And he did show that he can be efficient at times. And when he gets the ball more, like I've mentioned, he is more productive. And he really was just unbelievable, dominant in both of these games, and he was the difference because this week we didn't have a 30-point Caleb Love game. We didn't have Boswell and Larson have 20 points in either of these games, but we did have Umar Ballo. What do you think a dominant version of Umar Ballo, like we saw this past weekend, does for this Arizona team moving forward?
I think he's been very consistent on the glass. And so I think a dominant Umar Ballo definitely gives us more than 15 in the scoring category of the box score, and to where he's not necessarily a liability. And I think of the main games where that's been shown the most is when he's not finishing consistently around the rim and he's been forced to go to the free throw line a lot. And he's had a few games where he's played well from the free throw line. Oregon last week he played really well from the free throw line, but he's just not a super consistent shooter from the line. And so I think that's where if he's not making the and ones and he's having to get a majority of his points from the free throw line, that's where he struggles the most. But it's huge, especially paint points. Like, paint points is the easiest way to score in basketball because mm-hmm. it's a lot higher percentage of your shot, especially for a 7-footer. And it just helps everything with this offense, because if Ballo's having a game, then it forces the defense to think about doubling, to think about trying to stunt. And that's just inches that give some of our really good shooters a lot more of a wide open shot mm-hmm. in a sense.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. If they put more pressure on Ballo, then it lets and allows the other shooters to get involved. I agree with that. And it's also just coming into this season, I know that I had higher expectations and hopes for Ballo because it's likely his last year. He's a senior. He's mm-hmm. an older player. He's had experience the last couple years in Arizona. And there was a lot of unknown before Arizona got Caleb Love and got Keyshawn Johnson. It was basically Ballo and Larson that, you know, are the guys that have the experience. And I was counting on Ballo to be a guy like this, to be a force, to be a guy that the way he looked in that version of Umar Ballo is at least a top 10 center in college basketball and even could be near the top 5. I really do believe that, because he has the physical ability, and it just seems like when he does miss some foul shots, he does maybe miss some easy buckets in the paint. He kind of gets in his head a little bit, and that, you know, doesn't allow him to continue to put the pressure on defenses. But when he looks like that, Arizona could get to the next level. But Jordan, the guy that stood out to me second, and to me was the second best and most important player for Arizona this weekend, wasn't a starter for the Wildcats. It was freshman KJ Lewis. He was just unbelievable this weekend. I mean, we could start against Cal. He had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 4-for-6 from the field. He only played 16 minutes. I mean, that type of production in that like little and that small of a role right now is just, you're not going to see much better than that. And then against Stanford, he was the difference in that game for me. He had so many hustle plays, 2 steals. He had a block. He had 12 points in that game too. And he just, when he's on, he's just a different type of athlete that Kylan Boswell isn't, that even Pelle Larson isn't. He's a top tier athlete. He's quick. He's strong. He's physical. He's tough. He really, to me, has it all and everything that you would want for an elite guard in college basketball.
Definitely. He did nothing to hurt his stock from this past week. He only improved it. And you're talking about the Stanford game. He got more minutes than even Boswell did. I think that's one thing that's probably one of the biggest things to take away from the week. And he got into double figures, which I think he's done that a few times, but not many. And so the biggest thing around KJ has been he's a hustle guy. He's a glue guy. And that's what's getting him more minutes. And I think that's super encouraging, especially from just the coaching staff of looking down the bench of like, hey, if you make these hustle plays, if you get us extra possessions, your minutes are going to go up, and that'll create, that'll lead to you being on the floor more, where you'll get more shot opportunities. And KJ Lewis is from the start of the season, I can't say I remember any single game where I was like, he is hurting our team being on the floor. I think every single time he's on the floor, in one way or another, he's elevating them. And either just his athleticism of being able to get into transition, his ability to play solid defense, his ability to rebound, his ability to go after loose balls. And those are just winning plays that you need everybody on the floor to make. And he's done that, and he's went above and beyond what the coaching staff's asked of him.
100%. And I know we've said, and this is another narrative, and it was a similar narrative to Boswell last year, is, oh, he's a freshman. He was another guy. He'd come in for a few minutes, make a big impact. Wouldn't play a ton last year, that is Boswell. But when he was in, he maximized every minute. And KJ is playing that role to a T this year. And he really just doesn't look like a freshman. I just can't say that enough. I know it's cliche, but that's the truth. And it's not even through the season. It's not even just the hustle plays. You see him now. He's running the offense more. He had 3 assists. He's passing it more. His vision on the court, it just looks improved. And he just seems like he's more comfortable every time he's out there. And there's a strong case that in a closing lineup, in the bigger games, in the Pac-12 tournament, in March Madness, in that tournament, that KJ Lewis should be one of those five. One of Tommy Lloyd's 5 to close the game. And the way it's looking right now, he is, and he this week, I mean, recently he's been one of their 5 best players. Do you think that they should make that change? I'm not saying starter, but like continue to give him even, not even maybe more minutes than Boswell, but equal, or do you think that they should continue to allow Boswell to grow and improve without kind of pulling the rug under him?
I think they can still be consistently competing for minutes. I think having them both in the 20 to 25 minute range is smart. And especially when you see Boswell go off the court, Caleb is the primary ball handler. And I think throughout a lot of stretches, that's been some of our best offense that we've been able to have. Not saying that he's just a lot better than Boswell, but I think just the extra experience and the biggest thing that we've been talking about is his aggressiveness. It like completely just changes a lot of the things, because Boswell's fast. He can get the ball up the court, but once he crosses half court line, like he's going to settle and he's going to pass it to a wing and
it's a different flow of offense. The center.
Completely, completely. And so I want to say, I think it's funny. We're talking about KJ and like his lack of like youth seeing in him. I remember I was watching the UCLA game a few weeks ago with some of my friends, and I think he had a dunk in the second half, and I was like, let's go, that's the freshman. My friends are like, that guy's a freshman? He's got a beard and tattoos. And I was like, yeah, that guy's 18 years old. And then yeah, it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, who would you say, since you brought it up, who would you want your closing five to be without thinking of fouls being any impact of late crunch time? Who would you want on the floor?
I think it to me, it's a little different. It changes just because the matchup, like if they're playing a big center, you have to have Balo in there. But if they're playing a team that's undersized, I like a lineup of Cage or of Keyshawn, who he hasn't played a ton. I think he got banged up in the last game. He only played 17 minutes, but I like a small ball five with him and Pella and Caleb and KJ and even Boswell out there. I think that when you have that many guys, it like that can shoot and that can score, can help, especially when you're down the stretch. We see in big games, you need someone to get that bucket. But yeah, I'm not saying. I kind of agree with you. I don't think either one should get more minutes right now, just because I still believe in Boswell. I think he'll get there. He'll get to being more of that above average elite point guard that we thought he was. I just think he's still working through it. He's still, you know, just some mid-season growing pains. I think that's really it with Boswell. And yeah, I think the offense, like you mentioned, it flows different when KJ Lewis is in there because he just moves at a quicker pace. Boswell kind of has that old school point guard pace to him, and it's just like different. And at times, that's just not what the offense needs.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know,
yeah, it's very reminiscent to Kerr. I think,
like, you think Kerr, Boswell, Kerr, you think Boswell's,
like you said, their old school playing style. I think it reminds me because Kerr would get the ball, he would do three hard dribbles, get the ball, pass half court as fast as he could, and then he would look for maybe his three, and then he would pass it away and then cut.
I think, I mean, because that's always the conversation is like, is the player too aggressive? Is he too passive? It's like, which one? You got to find that common ground. I think Kerr was too aggressive and shot too much at times. And Boswell, as we're seeing, is too passive at times and isn't too aggressive. Mm. And another point is something I've always thought. It's not the case with every guy that comes off the bench in basketball, but just in general, the guys that truly want to earn more minutes and a bigger spot on a basketball team, they're just hungrier. You know, when you're coming on, it's like KJ Lewis, like Tommy Lloyd probably says to him, you know, we're going to get you in there a couple times. I don't have a set amount of minutes. And if that's the case, he's so hungry to, when he gets in there, to make an impact, kind of, like I said, similar to how Boswell was last year. And I think that's, you know, a difference, but I do think competition will breed better play for Boswell. If now that he sees he doesn't just have a freshman behind him and KJ Lewis, who's kind of a tweener guard but has shown that he can lead the offense, and now it's different. KJ can do more. KJ has shown that he has gained more trust from Tommy Lloyd, so I think this will only make both of them and this team as a whole better, because like I said at the top, it seems like the last couple of weeks, it's Arizona just kind of been in a circle. They win one, they lose one. They win one, they lose one. Yeah. This week, they got back on track. They're finding their rhythm. And this is the perfect time to have this rhythm, you know, because like I said to you before we started recording today, there's only 9 games left. And after this weekend, there's only 7. And then by the time, you know, postseason is here.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
Very true. It's when you can hit that stride of playing your best ball. And that's one thing that I know Arizona fans have been like, oh my gosh, like we can't win twice in a week. This season sucks. Like bench everybody, fire Lloyd. And it's like in the grand scheme of this season, you don't want to be playing your best ball in January and December. You don't. And it's a miraculous thing of how Tommy Lloyd has gotten his teams historically onto great starts. And it's one of the reasons why he's hitting all these historical win categories early in his career as he is. And so it's just one part of his game that's amazing. But now it's getting to the time where I think even he's starting to come to with grips of like, it's good to start well, but it's better to finish better or better to finish well, you know, better to finish games and finish conference games. And they'll be playing ASU a week from Saturday, and there'll be a ton of momentum around that game. And so it's all leading to March. And it's crazy we're in February now. We're just a little outside of a month of Selection Sunday when this team's really gonna be put in a spot to see what they're made of.
Yeah, the best time of the year is just around the corner. As you mentioned, Tommy has plenty of experience of coming up short in the postseason when he was at Gonzaga a couple years here. So we'll see if this is the year that he can break through. But the one thing for sure, Arizona proved once again, they're dominant at home. One of the best to me, a top 3 to 5 home court advantage in college basketball. They've won 95% of their games in the McHale Center since Tommy Lloyd took over in the past 3 years, which is just incredible. But Jordan, moving on, this weekend Arizona will not be in the McHale Center, and they're not going to stay in one state either. Thursday they're taking on the Utah Utes, who they beat just a couple months ago. That game is going to take place at 6 p.m. in Tucson, 8 p.m. on the East Coast. It's on the Pac-12 network, which isn't great, as we know. And then Saturday night, which hopefully we'll see a more healthy Colorado team in their place. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Tucson time, 10 p.m. on the East Coast. That one is on national TV. It's on ESPN. But I wanted to get into, what do you think about Arizona taking on Utah this second time around? Arizona beat them by 19 points when the game was in Tucson. This time it's at their place. We've talked before, Arizona has lost there in recent years. So do you think Arizona could get the job done? Utah just actually beat Colorado in their last game.
They did. Utah's a good team, but as we've seen, Arizona is a different team when they're motivated well. And I think my biggest hope is that Utah fills their student section. They have the arena over 50% full, and they're chirping Caleb Love from tip off, and they're chirping the guys to get them motivated. And that's just where I'm at with this team. If the team gets up, they can beat anybody. Even if they start slow, they can figure out ways to score the ball and get stops. But it just depends if they're motivated enough to show up and run and play.
Yeah. You mentioned Carlson. He's a really good big man. in the Pac-12, but also Gabe Mattson was the star for them when they played Arizona just a little bit ago. He had 18 points, 4 3-pointers. They don't shoot it very efficiently. Utah doesn't. But yeah, they've kind of been up and down this year. I just think they're just a middle, kind of a mid Pac-12 team right now. And I agree. Arizona already beat them at home. On the road, it's different. But like I said, I'm gonna put some blind faith. It may be just because in Arizona on the road, because we know I've done that before, and we've believed in them on the road, and they've let us down. But I think this, like I said, I do believe that this time of the year, the players, the staff, they all know that this is more important now. Because now when you win and lose games, it's some of the last games that the committee will see from you until March Madness starts. So there's more on the line. And I think Arizona, there's no line out yet for this game, but I think Arizona will win this game by at least 10 points. In Utah, I don't think they'll have much trouble. I think the first couple of minutes could be close. Utah does play a little bit better at home, so I think that'll be closer. But what's your prediction in this?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One.
Yeah, so I said I hope that they get a full student section, and I hope they get a crowd that's above 50% capacity. I'm not sure that's going to happen. The people up at Utah and Salt Lake City, they like basketball, but they love football. And so they're not going to fill up the crowd like Oregon does or UCLA or us. And so because of that, I think Arizona is really going to struggle in this game. And I think they'll pull it out, but I think it'll be a close game. And I think Utah will probably hold the lead for a big stretch of the game. I think Arizona will probably squeak it out at the end, probably win by, I'd say, around 4 or 5.
Yeah, well, let's move on and talk about the second game of the weekend. And that's going to be Arizona versus Colorado. They're in Boulder, as I mentioned. It's a late night game on ESPN. But the last time Arizona played Colorado at home, it was just a complete beatdown from start to finish by Arizona. They won by 47, one of the largest victories in the last couple of years by Arizona versus a Power 5 team. And it was different then. That game, we didn't see Colorado at full strength. It seems like they're still going to be without star freshmen, but they do have talented forward Tristan Da Silva back in the rotation. So I think this game will be a little bit closer. KJ Simpson has been one of the best guards in the country, one of the best in the Pac-12. I still think Love is having a little bit better of a year because Arizona's winning more. I think that plays into factor, but he's had two straight 25-point performances the last two games. They didn't win those two games. But yeah, he's really talented. We know they have Eddie Lampkin, who has some familiarity with Arizona from TCU. But how do you see this one playing out? Do you think Colorado will keep it closer? Do you think even Colorado at home, they do have, like you mentioned, the fan bases, they do have a pretty good one.
They do. But just looking at specifics and specific stats, this game, if it was on, I'll say this, it's going to sound whack. If it was on the Pac-12 network, I'd probably have a different take. But because it's on ESPN, it's on national television, I think U of A is going to get a lot more up for the game, especially with the comments that in the history that Lampkin has. That's the biggest matchup I'm excited to see is how Lampkin plays in the game, especially with kind of how much he was clowned after the last game of having a very non-statistic-based box score and the comments that he made like right before the game. And it'll be interesting to see if he can get his teammates and some of their fan base to rally around him. But I think Arizona will win this game probably more handedly than they will in Utah.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I actually think the opposite. I think this game will be closer than the Utah game. I think Arizona, I think they're going to win by 7 points is my prediction. I think it'll be closer. I think Colorado does have a good home court advantage, as I mentioned. I think their star players will get up more for this game because, they're more healthy than they were the last time Arizona played them. But, I think Arizona will pull it out. But KJ Simpson, Tristan Da Silva, watch out because those guys can light anyone up on any given night. They're two of the most talented players in this conference. But, Jordan, before we go today, do you have any final thoughts on just how Arizona is right now? They moved up to number 8 in the AP poll, moved up 3 spots. They've kind of gone up and down the last month. So, yeah, any final thoughts?
Yeah, we're coming down to crunch time. They still have a game lead over Oregon and Washington State. And then outside of that, there's a good 4-5 teams that are 2 games away from them that all stand at 6-5, which UCLA is one of them. Would not have shocked me.
Yeah, I believe they won.
Crazy how they've turned around their season. Yeah, they've been playing really well. Cronin's a great coach, man, and he's getting those youngsters up. Yeah, and Colorado and Utah are sitting right above them. Technically, I think by their overall record, but there's talent. There's talent in this league. I know the overall records don't really say that, but I think the fact that Arizona's lost 3 games too, and of their 5, 3 of them are in conference. I think it does show that. I think the conference is getting a little bit of an unfair shake, but I think that's probably more so because of how good other conferences are and to where there's just a big gap rather so than it's just like the Pac-12 just has nothing but terrible teams. Like look who's in last. Like USC's in last.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I kind of feel like, yeah, like any of these teams on any given night could beat another top team. It's just that this we've mentioned, there's so many top 10 teams in the country that have lost to unranked teams this year in college basketball. So it's just a crazy year. I'm really looking forward to next year in Arizona's conference play will be loaded. But yeah, for now, I think the Pac-12 is maybe a little better than I expected. We'll see how many get in the tournament. But on that, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's episode of Bear Down Ballers. You can follow us on X at Bear Down AC Pod. You can follow the Field of 68. I'm Ryan Wall. He's Jordan Pollock. And we'll see you next time.